Legendary doesn't happen by chance. It happens because it's what BetMGM does. Sign up for BetMGM and check out all the exciting new ways you can make this pro football season unforgettable. Shoot your shot with same-game parlays. Call your plays like a pro with live betting. Or bet on a market you didn't know existed thanks to BetMGM Originals. You'll be on the edge of your seat from the very first snap, no matter what type of fan you are. Earn BetMGM rewards points on every bet. Take advantage of football offers found nowhere else, like a second chance on a first touchdown bet. And keep an eye out for rewards dropping in your account throughout the season. Never settle for the ordinary. Sign up today. BetMGM. Make it legendary.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Specific promotional offers are not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text OPENY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is an interior paint and primer in one with a tough-lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter paint at Menards and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome, Red Sox fans. Here are the bastards of Boston baseball.
Hello, everyone. Terry Cushman here, flying solo as I like to do once a week, just to kind of bounce ideas off of you guys, the listeners, get stuff off my chest, what have you. The theme for tonight, and this won't be too long of an episode, but the theme for this one will be three things that need to happen for the Red Sox in order for them to get into the playoffs, whether that's a wild card or, if we're shooting for the moon, a division win. So, but before I get into that, I just want to share one thing with you guys. This show is gaining immensely with listenership, number of downloads, and we are now a top 100 MLB podcast. And to be exact, on this very day, we're 69th. Now, those numbers can fluctuate. We could be 85th tomorrow and then bounce back up a day or two later, but consistently ranked in the top 100, and we appreciate you guys tuning into us every week. It's been an incredible journey, and you know, I'm the founder of this show, and I've made mistakes along the way, and I've done some trial and error, and I think early on it was more error than anything, if I'm being completely honest, but over time, the show has evolved and we've gotten more things right, and it's a constant evaluation, and we're going to keep doing that to be better and better, and we appreciate you guys coming along for this journey. It's been incredible, and just this past 30 days, we're getting numbers we haven't even seen before. And the season hasn't even started yet. You know, the fun stuff has yet to begin. So again, I can't thank you guys enough. Getting on to the topic at hand, three things that need to happen for the Red Sox to get into the playoffs. The first thing I think that needs to happen is Nick Pivetta, who looked pretty decent today, had some struggles with his curveball, but didn't look terrible. We need Nick Pivetta to pitch to the level of a number three starter, is what we need. If his ERA for the majority of the season starts with the number three, that's phenomenal. That's a great sign. And there's enough talent around him that will likely be pulling their weight. So if he can pitch to that level, that would be great. Now, he never has pitched to that level. He has struggled mightily throughout his career. That's why he's here with the Red Sox. The Phillies gave up on him and sent him over to us in the Brandon Workman trade. Pivetta's career ERA, 5.40. He's bounced up and down between the Phillies and their minor league affiliates, and it's been a struggle. His best season in the majors so far, and he's pitched in parts of 4 or 5 seasons now. I think it's 5. His best season was 2018. 32 starts and a 4.77 ERA. That's his best season. We're going to need him to have the best season of his career, even if that's a 3.90 ERA. Again, I will take that. The good news is, his fastball has gained a couple miles an hour. He's hitting 96 on the gun. His curveball, when he can command it, pretty good. In his final out today, he struck out Randy Arozarena, who, if you watched the postseason, arguably the most exciting player throughout the entire postseason, Rays outfielder. So that was a good way to end the game. And in his 2 appearances with the Red Sox right before the season ended, he pitched a total of 10 innings, gave up 2 runs. So that's something positive to build off of. And he has been building off of it. He's looked pretty good so far in spring training. Only 3 innings today, but he's getting stretched out. So it would be a pleasant surprise to see a guy like Pivetta find himself here with the Red Sox and have some of the best years of his career. We have him, I think, for, including this season, for 5 seasons total. So this could work out very well. This could be one of those sneaky good trades in recent Red Sox history. So that's my number one. That's one of the things that needs to happen. And the reason I say that as well, I guess, before I do move on, you got Nathan Eovaldi, who pitches very well some of the time, not so well some of the time, and he's injured some of the time. So it would be great this year if Eovaldi pitched good a lot of the time, but there's no guarantees. So again, that's why you need a guy like Pivetta to emerge as a solid middle of the rotation guy. I liked what I saw out of Martin Perez last year. His ERA is inflated because of a couple of really bad outings. If those outings were only a little bad, his numbers on paper would look so much better. And Perez is a guy who will hopefully give us a chance to win on a regular basis. So we'll take what we can get there. With Erod, we're hoping for the best. I'm going to take a lot for granted with Erod because I got to have a decent amount of faith in somebody. So it may as well be Erod. And then a guy like, I have no faith in Richards. If you heard the last episode, where we really, really expressed serious concerns about him. I don't have a ton of faith in Garrett Richards, but you got a guy like Tanner Houck who could come up and also be a pleasant surprise. But I'm mentioning these other guys because they're not exactly cornerstones of a good rotation. So again, we need a guy like Pivetta to emerge as a solid pitcher. So again, I'll just kind of leave it at that. Number two that needs to happen this year. This could be a pretty tall order, but we need Bobby Dalbec to be a bona fide major leaguer with average to hopefully above average offensive numbers. The problem with Dalbec, he's struggled all throughout the minors on his way up. He's had some good spots, some good runs, some monster power, and he's been good enough to get a shot at the majors. But again, he's struggled at times. Minor league pitching in A ball, double A ball, all the way up, did not have any problems whatsoever striking out Bobby Dalbec. So for him to suddenly not be fooled by major league pitching, that's a stretch for me. Tim Hyers is a great hitting coach. So maybe working with Dalbec, maybe he could emerge as a solid major leaguer. And you don't even have to set the bar very high. If you could get Mitch Moreland type offensive production on a Dalbec, I think you would settle for that. You're hoping for more. You're definitely hoping for more. But you would settle for Moreland. And Moreland had his runs where he would hit 180 for a month and strike out a ton. And ultimately he was a platoon guy, but if you can get that out of Dalbec, you could settle for that. Now, if he drastically exceeds expectations, I shouldn't say drastically, if he exceeds expectations, the Red Sox offense suddenly looks a lot different because he translates to more of a middle of the order bat with less strikeouts and decent power. I've said time and time again, since we traded Mookie Betts, we never replaced him in the aspect of a right-handed power bat. We haven't gained that back. Now, are you going to replace Mookie Betts from an offensive standpoint? No, because Mookie's a generational talent. But could you get a 30 home run, 100 RBI guy, a.k.a. a 30-100 guy, as I like to say on the podcast? Yeah, you can find those. And if that's what Dalbec becomes and he's a 270 hitter, I'm thrilled with that. And if that happens this year, like I just said, this offense suddenly looks a lot different. And if that happens, that's a very good sign. Here's the bad news for the moment. And one of my co-hosts kind of chided me in our private group chat that we have. And he's like, it's only March 8th, but in Dalbec's 13 at-bats so far in spring training, in 13 at-bats, he's got 8 strikeouts. The next highest strikeout total on the team from a player, and a bunch of them are tied at this number, is 4. So he's struck out double more than the next guy down. Now, on the flip side, three out of his four hits are home runs. Call me an extreme pessimist, but I'm not comfortable with that either, because he's not going to be hitting those at that clip once the season starts. Once all the minor league pitching is no longer in these rotations. I mean, except for obviously maybe Baltimore. I mean, who knows what they're going to be trotting out. But yeah, so we just need the numbers to kind of normalize in every aspect. Less strikeouts and just more hitting. And hopefully he gets there. Here's the other thing. And again, it's only March 8th. Michael Chavis, 6 for 14. That's a 429 clip as far as his batting average goes. And he's only struck out twice. So, and Chavis is a guy who knows he's playing for his life right now. So, I don't have a ton of faith in Chavis. I love his personality. I love his character, and I'm rooting for him, and I'm rooting for Dahlbeck too. But, you know, Dahlbeck is the guy with the ceiling, and hopefully he emerges and exceeds expectations. Number three on the list, and this is the most attainable of them all. This is the one that's more likely to happen. We need Alex Verdugo to simply be healthy. He had a back issue in 2019. It limited him to just 106 games. But had 2020 started on time, Verdugo was slated to miss, I think they expected, about the first month. He was going to debut in early May. So we need no back problems this year, no other freakish injuries. And the reason I say this is because what's your outfield without Alex Verdugo? You got Hunter Renfroe, who might be the second worst player on the team from an offensive standpoint as far as average, getting on base. He's a career 289 on base guy. That's not even major league level. That's a guy who is going to have a short career and probably play a lot more games in the minors. So a guy like Renfroe definitely needs to set up. But what's your outfield without Verdugo? So you got Renfroe. You got Franchy Cordero, who definitely has had issues with injuries and not looked consistently good at the plate. And then aside from those two, Renfroe and Cordero, you could have Kike Hernandez or Marwin Gonzalez seeing time in the outfield. So that's not a great outfield without Verdugo. So if he stays healthy, I think we're good. And I don't know if I've said it on the podcast yet, but not only do I not have the Red Sox as a playoff team, I don't have the Red Sox finishing the year with a winning record. I have them roughly as a 77-78 win team. I hope I'm wrong about that. I really do. But, you know, we've seen four championship teams, and this does not resemble any of those teams. And if you look at this century, which I also like to refer to as the World Series era in Boston, when was there a season where the Red Sox were several games out of the wild card? Five or six, let's say. by the time late July, early August came around. And then rallied back to get into the playoffs. I can't think of a time. We're either way in it or we're way out of it. This isn't a team that's ever made a good rally. In fact, in 2011, the beer and chicken year, we blew a historic lead. So we've done the opposite of that. So there's a reason I'm pessimistic. I'd love to be wrong. I'm a guy who can admit he's wrong. And I hold myself accountable. And if the team, regardless of the three bullet points I came on this show with tonight, if they still find a way into the postseason, I'll own it and I'll take accountability. But as it stands right now, I personally do not see them having a great year. I do have co-hosts that disagree with me, and they range from a little bit more to a lot more optimistic. So don't just take my word for it. You know, if you disagree with me right now, there's probably a co-host you will agree with, but based on my own assessments, and I usually do preseason have a pretty good pulse on the team. And so that's kind of where I stand this year. But if Pivetta emerges as a solid middle of the rotation guy, Bobby Dalbec exceeds expectations, Alex Verdugo gives you 6 months of what you saw last season, especially from a health standpoint, suddenly I'm a lot more optimistic. Suddenly this looks like a team that has a lot more stability than I anticipated. And if they can tread water until Chris Sale comes back in, I'm assuming, the month of July, early August at the latest, then my excitement level goes up. So we'll see. We'll see. But that's it for this episode. We are going to be back on Thursday night. So that episode will be available to you on Friday morning. Eduardo Rodriguez is the starting pitcher on Thursday, so we figured let him get a start, and then we'll come on and talk about the rest of the week. So hope you enjoyed it. Hope you guys are getting through these final days of winter, and opening day is just right around the corner. And again, I'm really excited. I'm really excited to have a 162-game baseball season, so take care, everyone.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.